Of the mission statement of the United Methodist Church is something you've probably heard before: to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Now, that making disciples part always trips me up some, and I know that I've talked to some of you about this, because other than Jesus, who simply said to the fishermen on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, "Come with me," and they came, I don't think we can make disciples. We certainly can be disciples. We can encourage discipleship by helping other believers grow and nurture their faith. But even God can only offer the gifts and graces. It is the disciple who has to say yes. So then the mission of the church expands a bit, becomes creating places and relationships for persons to grow and to become one whose life is completely centered in loving God and loving others. A life in which the love of God that became flesh in Jesus becomes flesh in us. That definition of a disciple comes from A Disciple's Path by James Harnish, which is the center of our current Grace Connection. And just add this as an invitation to come and to hear more about that, about what it means to follow a disciple's path. Now, a mission statement is a good start. But for a mission to succeed, there has to be a vision to carry out that mission. And as you all know, many of you know, on our bulletins every week, we have a mission and a vision statement. And I've got to confess to you that it's been the kind of week that I didn't realize until last night that mission and vision are flipped around differently than how I'm talking about them this morning. So please forgive me. In my mind, the mission statement is that short statement that says what it is that we are going to do. And the vision is how we carry that out. So on the top of your bulletin, everyone take your bulletin for a second, under our thought for meditation, we have what's labeled as a mission statement, but what I would call a vision statement. We'll sort all that part out later. Let's just look at the statement. Let's read it together. To know the love of Jesus in personal ways, through worship, prayer, and study. To live the love of Jesus through acts of compassion, gentleness, and justice. To share the love of Jesus in our homes, our community, and the world. And to welcome all of God's children, regardless of age, race, ability, sexual or gender orientation, and economic circumstance. That's a pretty clear plan. It's practical and challenging. It's personal and communal. It's spiritual, and it is justice-seeking. And it's a plan that we need to go back to again and again and again if we are to claim it as our vision. Everything we do, everything we plan, everything we post on our website or place on the calendar or come and gather here in this building or out in the community to do should come back to this statement. And I'm going to continue to challenge all of us, leadership and membership, to keep this vision in sight. So with our congregational statement in mind, let's back up to mission and vision in Scripture. Last week you heard Jesus proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." With that simple mission statement, Jesus called his disciples into ministry. Repent, change your ways, turn back to God. That is the core message of the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so what follows in the Sermon of the Mount becomes a visioning sermon for Jesus. How is Jesus going to carry out this mission of transforming the world? How will his disciples, then and now carry out that mission. The sermon begins with the Beatitudes, that well-known list of blessed are. Anne and I spoke before worship this morning and commented on the variety of translations. And at Bible study the other night, we looked at a bunch of different translations. And I'm sure that many of you have your favorite in the Bible that you have read for years, or a favorite list of those blessings that echoes in your mind. Biblical commentaries wrestle with the question of whether or not these blessings are imperative or indicative statements. And for those of you who have forgotten your English grammar lessons, let me explain for a moment. And I ask forgiveness for any of my English teachers or any of you out there if I don't have this exactly right. An imperative is a command or a call to action. Do this and you will be blessed. Become poor, hungry, thirsty, merciful, or a peacemaker, and you will be blessed. But that read puts us on a slippery slope towards claiming that God's blessings come if we are or we act in a certain manner. An indicative statement describes something as it already is. These blessings are a reality in which we live. We've heard these Beatitudes before. The church has heard them for centuries, so they tend to lose a little of their edge. But put yourselves in the sandals of the first hearers of the Sermon on the Mount. These are challenging blessings to claim. Blessed are the poor, not the rich. Blessed are the meek, not the strong. Blessed are the peacemakers, not the conquering warriors. Blessed are those who are persecuted and those who persecute. These are not blessings for the privileged and the comfortable. These are blessings for the marginalized, the oppressed, the downtrodden. And if we listen very carefully, with open hearts and minds, from our life positions of mostly comfort and privilege, we might conclude that these blessings aren't quite for us. Which brings me back to the grammatical nature of the statements. I think, maybe grammar aside, the Beatitudes lie somewhere between an indicative and an imperative. They state the present reality of who God is blessing in this world, and at the same time, they are calling us to action so that the blessings of God may continue to be fulfilled promises. We are called to be and to live into these blessings so that they may be a vision by all of God's children, the poor, the meek, the mourning, the merciful, the peacemakers, the persecuted, and the persecutors. Preacher David Luce writes, "To be blessed feels like you have someone's unconditional regard. It feels like you are not and will not be alone, like you will be accompanied wherever you go. Being blessed feels like you have the capacity to rise above present circumstances, like you are more than the sum of your parts or past experiences. Being blessed feels like you have worth, not because of something you did or might do, but simply because of who you are. We are blessed by God's unconditional love and grace, which lifts us out of our present circumstances to see and to know our true created worth. It is the mission and the vision of the church and each of us as disciples to transform the world by blessing others with this same love and grace. We are called to have the eyes and the heart of God, to see the divinely created worth in each of God's beloved children. Blessing in this way requires new vision and new definitions of who is blessed in this world that tends to put limits and blinders on blessings. Nadia Bolz Weber is a former stand-up comic, a recovering alcoholic, and a Lutheran pastor with lots of tattoos as well. She has created a stunning revision of the Beatitudes that takes a hard look at who is blessed in today's world. Listen to these. They don't quite sound like the Bible version that you may remember. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the agnostics. Blessed are they who doubt. Those who aren't sure, who can still be surprised. Blessed are they who are spiritually impoverished and therefore not so certain about everything that they no longer take in any new information. Blessed are those who have nothing to offer. Blessed are they for whom nothing seems to be working. Blessed are the preschoolers who cut in line at communion. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are they for whom death is not an abstraction. Blessed are they who have buried their loved ones, for whom tears are as real as an ocean. Blessed are they who have loved enough to know what loss feels like. Blessed are the mothers of the miscarried. Blessed are they who don't have the luxury of taking things for granted anymore. Blessed are they who can't fall apart because they have to keep it together for everyone else. Blessed are the motherless, the alone, the ones from whom so much has been taken. Blessed are those who still aren't over it yet. Blessed are they who laughed again when for so long they thought they never would. Blessed are those who mourn. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who no one else notices, the kids who sit alone at middle school lunch tables, the laundry guys at the hospital, the sex workers and the night shift street sweepers. Blessed are the losers and the babies and the parts of ourselves that are so small, the parts of ourselves that don't want to make eye contact with a world that loves only the winners. Blessed are the forgotten. Blessed are the closeted. Blessed are the unemployed, the unimpressive, the underrepresented. Blessed are the teens who have to figure out ways to hide the ways they have hurt themselves. Blessed are the meek. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the wrongly accused, the ones who never catch a break, the ones for whom life is hard. For they are those with whom Jesus chose to surround himself. Blessed are those without documentation. Blessed are the ones without lobbyists. Blessed are foster kids and trophy kids and special ed kids and every other kid who just wants to feel safe and loved and never does. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are they who know there has to be more than this because they are right. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are those who make terrible business decisions for the sake of people. Blessed are the burnt out social workers and the overworked teachers and the pro bono case takers. Blessed are the kids who step between the bullies and the weak. Blessed are they who delete hateful and homophobic comments off their friends' Facebook page. Blessed are the ones who have received such real grace that they are no longer in the position of ever deciding who the deserving poor are. Blessed is everyone who has ever forgiven me when I didn't deserve it. Blessed are the merciful, for they totally get it. Brothers and sisters, be blessed and be the blessing. Amen.